We actually look at data centers as being part of the solution to the energy crisis that we're having in the world and the problems around carbon footprint that folks are trying to solve.
Data storage centers could be the model for a whole new way of delivering power. This is Future Lab, the online radio show of Intel Labs. I'm Jason Lopez. With Earth Day coming up, we look at one of the ways the computer industry is targeting data centers to curb energy costs. Just watch TV for any length of time and it becomes easy to filter out the marketing messages about the environment. It's not hard to put a picture of a green leaf on a logo and push it out into the media. But behind the scenes, what you may not know is that there is serious research being done on how to cut carbon emissions. Transportation and power transmission are at the top of the to-do list of what needs to be addressed. According to the independent nonprofit The Climate Group, the information and communications technology sector, which uses 2% of the world's energy, is key in the effort to make the rest of the world more efficient. And many IT firms are directing their efforts at making data centers themselves more efficient. The Environmental Protection Agency predicts that by 2012, the carbon footprint of data storage centers will exceed that of the airline industry. But researchers are coming up with ways that organizations requiring lots of data processing can become more efficient and find new energy sources. Deirdre Kennedy reports.
Behind the internet and all of its services, instant entertainment, and busy social networks sit millions of servers processing data 24 hours a day. As more businesses and individuals move their data to the web and do their computing in the cloud, the centers that store all that data are growing exponentially. And all those servers eat a lot of power.
Typically, these centers are simply a warehouse-type building, a big open space room with rows and rows of server machines. And when people started out doing this initially, they basically would set up a facility like this and then bring in an air conditioning engineer, and they would basically set up air conditioning to keep the room cool.
Van Carey is a professor of mechanical engineering at UC Berkeley.
Of course, what's happened over time is that the server machines have become more energy intensive. They use more energy individually. We're putting more and more of them into the data centers. And recently, some of the biggest users, Google, Yahoo, Apple, that sort of thing, have been building extraordinarily large facilities.
A single one of those facilities uses 40 megawatts of electricity, enough to power 16,000 homes. Data centers already account for more than 2% of the total U.S. power consumption at a cost of nearly $9 billion a year. Over the lifespan of a particular data center, the company that owns it will spend more money on electricity than on all the equipment inside.
It's actually gotten to the point now where these are such big consumers that the location of them is being dictated largely on availability of electrical power and also on the cost of electrical power and the extent to which they can access it when they need it.
In order to cut costs, many companies are moving their data overseas to countries that don't have the power grid to supply all that energy. So companies like Hewlett-Packard are considering building their own power generation stations to fuel them. One of the reasons data storage burns up so much energy is that about 50% of the AC power that comes into the building is immediately lost in the process of converting it to DC power used by the servers. Guy Allais, senior researcher at Intel's Energy Systems Research Center in New Mexico, explains.
Right now what happens in the AC world for an enterprise data center is you're taking voltage into the building, probably at 13,000 volts, converting that down to probably 480, sending that into the building and converting it to 208 volts at several places around the data center, and then putting that into the servers, which you then convert down to the voltages that the chips can use. Well, each one of those steps, you know, while they're maybe 90% efficient, is great, but those efficiencies don't add together, they multiply. So when you do 90 times 90 times 90 enough times, you get down to the point where what comes in the wall of a data center today ends up being about half the power that actually gets to the chip on the processor.
Intel is one of several companies developing ways to bring DC power directly into data centers and simply avoid all those conversion steps. LA has set up a demonstration on Intel servers to show how much energy can be saved.
What I've got here is a rack of servers, basically set up so that I can power the servers either from AC or from DC. So what I'm going to do is turn these on. It's going to get pretty noisy here. And run it off of AC and then show you the power reading on that. And then we'll just flip from AC to DC and just show you how much savings you've got just at the rack level. So here goes. All right, so you can see here we're consuming about 1,600 watts, 1.6 kilowatts. So I'm going to turn on the DC power supply now. We'll leave it for about 5 seconds, let it settle out so we don't have any discontinuities. And I'm going to turn off the AC now. And you can see it immediately jumps down to less than 1,400 watts there. So that's probably on the order of 12% energy saving just at the rack level.
Multiply that out over an entire data center, and the savings add up to about 28%. That's because for every watt the server burns, it takes another 2 watts of energy to take that heat out of the building. The conversion issue has become an increasing problem for electronics in general, because the entire U.S. power grid is AC. In case you're wondering why, here's a 30-second history on the power business. Back in the 1880s, Thomas Edison's company General Electric began distributing direct current, or DC, power. But it only carried about 90 volts, enough to illuminate the light bulbs of the time. His competitor, George Westinghouse, soon began delivering alternating current, or AC, power, pioneered by Nikola Tesla. It was cheaper and could carry higher voltages over longer distances. And in the first part of the 20th century, most motors were designed to run on AC. The problem started with the birth of the semiconductor and the rapid adoption of electronics. So now, 80% of today's devices run on DC. You might not notice because DC converters are often hidden inside, but a lot of products need those little boxy plugs that turn 110 volts of AC into various DC currents from 5 to 12 volts. That explains why most homes and offices look like a Radio Shack store with different voltage converters plugged into every available socket. Tech giants like Oracle and IBM have joined with the eMERGE Alliance to promote a transition to a standard DC system. Alliance Chair Brian Patterson.
The transition to a more DC facilitated system would take several decades to complete. And it would look a little bit like the way we did the internet or our conversion to cell phones. We wouldn't totally abandon the existing infrastructure, but we would do it in layers and work at it over time in pieces, such that when we were complete, it would perhaps even resemble very closely the kind of infrastructure we have with the internet.
In the meantime, researchers are looking at ways to create better converters that can supply DC power to an entire floor or section of a building. And so-called microgrids could provide DC power to a single business park or campus using a combination of sources like solar and wind power, which natively produce DC, and traditional AC power from the grid. Businesses could store and deliver power back to a local grid and make it available to other users. Facebook is working with a number of tech companies in the Open Computer Alliance to share green technologies. The social network just released design specifications for its new data center in Oregon that will use 38% less power and save a quarter of the cost of existing data centers. It will use servers that are stripped of extraneous plastic, logos, and paint, and it's losing the standard industry chillers in favor of circulating outside air to cool the machines. Patterson says it's definitely a move in the right direction for tech giants, but...
When it comes to data centers, though, it's important to realize that what, say, happens at Facebook may not be all that scalable to the millions of little businesses that have data centers around the country and around the world. But nonetheless, it is important that companies like Facebook and others and Google take the lead in demonstrating the capability at whatever scale.
IBM was working on a project to make self-contained modular units with servers and cooling systems that could be driven to a location and hooked together, sort of a do-it-yourself data center for smaller businesses. And Google suggests that companies follow the standard green computing tips. turn up the thermostat to 80 degrees or even higher to save on cooling costs, hang heavy plastic curtains to separate hot and cool air in the server rooms, use power management tools to dim the lights, put the drives to sleep, and shut off servers when they're not in use. For Future Lab, I'm Deirdre Kennedy.
That's Future Lab for this week. There are pictures of the interviewees for today's show at Flickr. Use the search terms Future Lab and Earth Day. Other Future Lab shows can be found at iTunes and at connectedsocialmedia.com. Intel Labs is at intel.com/research.